Hello there. Thank you for being here. Welcome back to another episode of Janine Between the Lines, literature and lifestyle for leisure, where I talk about books that I'm loving, life that I'm living, and everything caught up in between. Guys, I did that. I recorded that. Welcome back, everyone. I am in the process of a revamp. I've missed you all. Let me know how you like the new kind of inquisitive intro music. I think it fits a little better. The other one was a little bit too flouncy. Let me know what you think. I am very excited. Kind of feel a little bit awkward talking to a mic again, all on my own. I don't have my partner in crime with me, Corinne, but I figured enough is enough. Enough time has passed. I need to get back into the habit of remembering how to talk with myself, because a lot of life has happened, a lot of books have happened, and I'm sure a lot of you come mostly for the books, but there is going to be like baby life updates here and there. That is just a culmination of all the things that is me over the past couple months. So I figured what I could do is talk about some favorites. I was thinking of like Good, Better, Best with like standalone series, shows and things that I've been into, and then just a few life updates in between. So thank you again for being here. I love you all. And I really hope you enjoyed this episode. Make sure you follow Janine Between the Lines. How did I forget my handle? It's my literal handle. And also follow Lone Pine Book Club on Instagram and on Fable as well. So if you're excited to hear about some favorites and books and all the things and where I've been and all that stuff, please just stay tuned. We're so happy to have you. Definitely some of the opinions on here that I'm about to broadcast could be considered controversial. Just in regards to books and what my preferences have been lately, a lot has changed. Like, I don't even know where to start. Do I start with life stuff? Should I get life stuff out of the way first? Or should I do books first and then go into life? I think I'll do books first because I think I have to give the people what they want. I think that's what people want to hear. So I have this like weird idea in my head where I want to do like rate certain categories of books like series, standalones that I've read since the last episode and do like good, better, best. But I also kind of wanted to make it like red light, yellow light, green light. Like which ones? Red light, you can pass on. Yellow, if you're into it, you could probably, it's probably rewarding in some sort of way. Then green light is like, yes, go run to the bookstore, to the library, go right now. Happy to report also, I have been also rekindled in my library escapades. I haven't been renting books in a long time. I was on a book ban for a while and I kind of continued that book ban. And yeah, it's just been so much better for my wallet. I gotta say, and it's just satisfying walking out of the library with five or six books in hand. It's very reminiscent of me, of myself in elementary school and taking trips to the library with my family. So I figured probably the best way to start would be standalone books that I loved and didn't love and were just okay. So probably I would say, I don't know if I've talked about this on this episode, but I'd say my green light book for a standalone book that I've read in the past couple of months. First one is The Marriage Portrait by Maggie O'Farrell. This one, it talks about the setting is in Renaissance Italy. It captures the life of the young Duchess Lucrezia de' Medici, like part of the old ancient Medici family, and kind of the history. It's historical fiction. But it is, yeah, it kind of talks about how she was wed very early. She was kind of an outcast in her family, and she goes through a pretty traumatic and adventurous, mysterious journey with her, with the ruler of the town next door, Ferrara. And it's pretty intense. It's a little bit of a thriller. There is, you know, some trigger warnings in terms of like sexual violence and things like that. But I will say that one is probably one of the most well-written standalones that I've read over the past couple months, I'd say. It's a little bit, I say well-written, but also I can see how some people would not like this type of writing. I get in these moods, and I think I've definitely defined myself as a mood reader these past couple months. I get in these moods where I want to be reading something that is kind of like old-timey and reminiscent of like Jane Austen-y or like Pride and Prejudice-y. Are those are those even adjectives? Let me know. I don't believe that they are, but you get what I'm saying. Kind of like classic, a little bit hard to interpret, but that you really kind of have to use your brain. And it unlocked, like, I used to be a very avid, like, AP European history buff. So it kind of triggered that in me, too. And the fact that my partner is Italian, too. So reading all of that is kind of interesting to me. So that one's definitely a green light. A yellow light standalone book that is... it was okay. I have two of them. One of them was one of our book club picks, and it's an Emily Henry. It's Happy Place. God, the hype surrounding this book, guys. Guys. And I will say, from the first book that I read from Emily Henry, I wouldn't have called myself a stan, but I was going to say, I would have read more of her books. She does spice really well. And I love a good rom-com, but going from Beach Read to Happy Place was, I felt like a deflated balloon. I wish I loved it more. I thought I love it more because of the main setting, but there are parts of it that was just too cringy, too touristy, and I know, I'm a transplant, I'm not exactly like a local, but yeah, it felt too, I was about to say broadband. That's not what I'm thinking of. It felt too like a poster boardy, like things that you would stick on a presentation board of all the things that I love about Maine, but also mix in a lot of miscommunication between adults, which was not my favorite thing. Even the romantic dynamic, it wasn't my favorite. I think a lot of people who aren't from Maine and or don't live in Maine, and this is one of their first kind of rom-commy books they've read of Emily Henry, would have a better opinion of it. But I didn't love it. It wasn't my favorite. And I guess I'm on like a... I must be on like an Italian craze right now, because my red light book, which is the book that I read to break my book ban, and I'm so disappointed that it was on this book, but it was One Italian Summer by Rebecca Serly. And I've heard good things about, I think her other book is In 5 Years. I've heard pretty good things about that book, but I read One Italian Summer and I was really drawn in. This is how you know, book talk and bookstagram can, you gotta be careful, because you don't have to be careful. It's just everyone has very different tastes. And when one thing is hyped up by someone, even if you believe that they're reputable and you've trusted their reviews in the past, this one got raving reviews. I was ready to cry. I really, really wanted to cry. I needed to cry after the series. I'll talk about the series that I was reading prior to this. I needed a palate cleanser. And I thought that this would be, you know, airy, romantic, kind of tug at my heartstrings. Someone I saw posted that they were bawling like by the end of it. And it was just unremarkable for me. I love the premise, and it makes me even more want to vacation in Italy. But regardless, it really wasn't the greatest for me. I think I rated it about like a 3 stars. It was just eh. So that those are my standalone red light, green light, stoplight, blue light, black light. Oh God, what's wrong with me? Those are my top three good, better, best. Red light, yellow light, green light bucks for standalones. Okay, then I go to series because these past couple months I have been diving headfirst into the fantasies. Whether that be me throwing it back and wanting to read all of the old series that I've read, or new ones that I haven't touched, or ones that have just been sitting in my mind and my TBR forever. So I guess I'll start with the best. So this past, I think it was 2 months ago, I finished the Seven Waters trilogy. That is a 20 out of 10 absolute must read for all of my fantasy lovers. Thank you to Emily for referring this to me. I will say, like, the cover art and everything is not, it never would have drew me in by the cover. And maybe that's a good thing, because even though I want everyone to read it, I think it's one of the world's best kept secret. But I will tell you, my friends, this is one of the most vivid, descriptive, enticing, adventurous fantasy series that I've read in a very long time. And, you know, it's really interesting because each book that I've read, like, as the series goes on, it recounts, or it tells the story of the children of the book prior. So you would think that, well, in my mind, I thought that maybe I would lose interest and, oh, it would get kind of old. But she does such a great job of kind of tying in what happened in book one and drawing, you know, new plots and twists and everything, that it all comes together so beautifully. I think I said it in my last podcast, but it's pretty much like Game of Thrones meets Outlander meets Lord of the Rings. And I can't think of a better combination than that. It's just amazing. It's just absolutely amazing. That's my green light. Please, for my listeners who trust my reviews, that is one that is worth the investment. I am buying that with my next indulgence into books, which who knows when that's going to be. I go a little crazy when I decide to indulge, so maybe I should just hold off, but that is going to be my next series purchase that I need in my collection. It's amazing. Yellow light. So my good-ish, the next few series that I'm going to mention, I haven't finished all of them just because while reading for book club a new book every month and then having something open kind of on the fly of whatever's on my TBR that I'm in the mood to read, I'm in the middle of 3 different series right now. So there's that. My yellow light series is definitely the R.F. Kuang's The Poppy War. I don't know if I said earlier, but the Seven Waters trilogy is by Juliette Marieller, and she's so cool. Her Instagram is just full of different animals and swans. So it's pretty awesome. But R.F. Kuang, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, she wrote Babel, which I haven't read and I heard is amazing as well. But yeah, she wrote The Poppy War, and that is a series of 3. I got through the first and second book. I was super drawn in to the first book, and there was a lot of shamanism, kind of magical fantasy, imperialistic China, kind of republics and all of that jazz. And I was drawn in. I really loved the journey that the main character had, like going through the academy. And it It was giving, like, I haven't even read Fourth Wing, but it gave, like, Fourth Wing Academy vibes. But on a more mature level is what I'm guessing. I'm going to bite my words one of these days. When I finally bite the bullet and read Fourth Wing, I better love the crap out of it. But back to the Poppy Wars. So the second book, it's called The Dragon Republic, and it kind of picks back up to the end of the first book, where there was this huge tragedy that was kind of at the hands of the main character. And guys, when I tell you, you have to have the willpower. Oh, the willpower to power through the militant strategy. Chapters upon chapters, pages, just it like so densely packed into certain chapters. I wasn't here for it. I really considered just stopping. But I think the author makes it really, she does, she's a great writer, but it was really, it took me a long time to finish that book. And mostly it was because I had to steel myself and kind of power through, oh, we have to attack on the West Front with these amount of soldiers marching on and this, and they're going to do this if we, so much strategy. Like, if that's your thing, you would love that. However, Jesus Christ. I was struggling, and I realized, and I've been reading these, just these thick, like, girthy series, and even though it's, like, I'm already past my book goal, even though I'm going slower than in my head for some reason I would like myself to read faster or need more books, but I'm realizing that, dude, my page count right now with all these hefty boys, It's probably super high. So I think the Poppy Wars trilogy is definitely a niche kind of book. If you love fantasy, if you love, there's great action in there. And if you are kind of into, like, how, you know, wars are navigated and military strategy and kind of the politics behind that too, if you don't mind that, you might like this one. That's how I feel about that. And then I have a red light series, which I wouldn't even call it a red light. I think that it was very critically acclaimed, and I almost feel I shouldn't feel guilty. That's my whole thing. I'm trying not to feel guilty about anything anymore, but my red light series that I wouldn't recommend to everyone is The Fifth Season by N.K. Jemisin. I didn't love it. So I read the first book, and I buddy read it with a couple girlfriends of mine, and it was pretty darn good. We were pretty, the world, I always say that one is like post-apocalyptic Avatar with the elements that are at play and the populations that are kind of being, like, wiped off the earth. Like, it's a very, very intriguing premise. However, when I read The Obelisk Gate, the second book in the trilogy, it was very hard. I was also very close to DNFing this, only because somewhere along the line, I felt like it was very hard to follow, and my attention wasn't captured enough. I found myself, do you ever, like, try to flip through pages because you just want to get through, you want to see what's going to happen next, but nothing that, like, happened next really made me want to keep on reading. Truth be told, there were a lot of parts in here, like, super dense, that I would just get really confused, and then I'd have to stop and, like, go back, and when that happens, I get a little bit turned off of that. So that I've been a sitting duck. I have not, however, I have heard that the third book is redemption for the middle one. I forgot who told me, they're like, yeah, the middle book really does give, like, middle child vibes. So who knows? Maybe the last book will change me, but I am in the middle of a couple other series right now. So the other series is that I'm reading A Discovery of Witches, which I'm super into right now. I am currently debating whether to pick up the second book. I'm rereading the Aragon series, which has been amazing. I did not realize. I'm really glad I'm rereading this one because there's so much that I don't remember. I think I must have been in elementary school or middle school when that came out. And it's so refreshing reading it again because I don't think that I processed all of like the loss and violence and everything and real dragons like this. It's pretty awesome. So I'm pending on when I'm going to start Eldest. And then I'm also about to embark on a new journey, which is Priory of the Orange Tree, which is a hefty mama right there. And I've heard amazing things about the world building in there. And I cannot wait to start that one. Part of me is debating on whether I should start Crescent City, just because I know that Sarah J. Maas's final book in that series is coming out. I actually don't know if I'm ready for that just yet. So that one I think eventually I will read, but yeah, I can let that one sit on the burner for now just because I have so many open right now. So I'm on book two of Aragon. I just finished book two. I'll be on book three of A Discovery of Witches, and then I'm starting fresh with Priory. So those are my red, yellow, green for series that I have been into. I have a new category that I never thought that I would ever have. And shame on me for like shaming myself for thinking that this is like not okay, but I have a DNF. I have a DNF category on my fable lists. And I only have two books on there. And they're not like, oh my God, I hated this book. Both of them aren't like that. So the first book that I DNF'd was The Midnight Library. The reason I DNF'd that one, again, that was a super overhyped book. And it felt very reminiscent of Addie LaRue. And I don't think I was in the mood to read a kind of light fantasy that had to do with that topic at the moment. A lot of, you know, depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, and the steps into a magical realm of, oh, you can see what you would do next. I don't know. It just felt a little too cookie cutter. I hate to say it. I shouldn't hate to say it. I should feel no shame. But I don't think I was in the right. Probably if I read that book a year or two ago, I would have loved it because it would have been like my first exposure to that. But I had so many other books kind of in my periphery that I was just, I'm going to start something else. So then my second one, again, this is not a hit on the book or author itself, but Untamed by Glennon Doyle. I think that is also a mood book, and I was not in the mood. So it's very uplifting, motivational, inspiring, and self-helpy. Like, it gives you keys to unlocking certain parts of your life and kind of uncaging the real you that's inside of you, and recounts her journey of her, it is a memoir, it recounts her journey of her separation from her marriage and having kids and her in recovery. And it is, it's very heartwarming. I probably got through like one third of it, and then I realized I don't think I'm really in a place right now either where I feel like I needed this. Do you ever like get advice from someone and you don't really want it? For some reason, that's what came to my mind. And a lot of the reason why I felt that way was because I'm doing a lot of like mental work on the side. And for some reason, it just didn't tickle my fancy. I think if I get in a rut and I need a little bit of a pick-me-up, that would be a wonderful one to pick back up on. But right now, it's in my DNF. I mean, I don't even have to put a negative connotation to it. DNF can just mean I just did not finish. It doesn't have to mean that I hated it. But like many things in life, it just there's a negative stereotype attached to that category of books. So no lights there, just DNFs. And the final category that we have is books that I'm looking forward to. So I kind of talked about some of the ones like Eldest. I'll be picking up that second book sometime soon. And then the third book of Discovery of Witches. I'm really excited about that because I'm charging forward so that I can watch the show. And that could be like my fall kind of witchy show. Priory of the Orange Tree, I'm really looking forward to. And then I'm also in like the rom-com spectrum. I am really looking forward to the third book of the Things We Never Got Over series, the Knock 'Em Out series. That's like a guilty pleasure for me. Let me see what that was called. Seagull. Is it Things We Hide from the Light? Things We Left Behind. So this is the one that I forgot the two characters' names. I believe it's Sloane. Is the guy Gabriel? I low-key am really into these like series books that goes over different characters like arcs. I think it's really cool. That will be the last couple where we haven't really gotten to know their story just yet. So I'm really excited about that. If we're talking smut, Anna Huang, what is her? So King of Pride, and there's another one, King of Wrath, the Kings of Sin trilogy. Guys, please imagine my shook face when that second book was a Filipina American and talking about her Lola and her family and everything. Oh my God, I just felt so happy with the representation, and it was very dirty. If I could take the character from King of Pride and paste her with the male main character in King of Wrath, who of course is this like Italian business tycoon. Do I have a type? It seems like it. But wow, these books were really good. And I said it about the Becca Mack series, the Play With Me series. I really love the fact that authors, I guess that are my age right now, at least in my generation, they write men that are so emotionally intelligent, or not emotionally intelligent, but have significant growth throughout the book. And it's actually so refreshing. I love it so much. So, those are just a few that I'm looking forward to. You know what I would love? If you guys could send me books, it doesn't matter the genre. Send it to me on Instagram. Let me know books that you are into right now, books that you didn't like. If you read any of these books, if you want to fight me, send me a DM. That would be kind of cool. Also, listen to this romantic piano music. Stay tuned. We're moving on. Going to talk about life a little bit, and we'll just see what transpires from there. Follow me in the meantime while you listen to this interlude. Okay, I'll see you in just a bit. Thank you. Okay, I have returned. So I just need to catch you up on some life stuff. Just some logistical admin-y things that you guys need to know. It has been quite a long time since I posted an episode. Summer has kicked my butt, literally, in a great way. I would say the phase of life that I am currently in is probably my favorite. Up to this point, life's been pretty darn good. So small things. I got engaged. If you are a podcast listener and you like nonsensical things and just want to listen to people talk and be weird and just tell stories about random things, the other podcast that I'm on is Memory Lane Morning Show. I'm sure a lot of you know, but I record that one with my partner and his best friend. And we talk about the whole engagement and all that kind of stuff. So that's been a really big thing. It was such a momentous occasion. We were at Baxter State Park in Maine with a few of our very close friends. And it was magical. It was surreal. I am in the process of, we are planning a very far out wedding. And let me tell you guys, the more I think we have seen a venue and we have a venue like tour kind of going every week. And the more that I tour venues, the less that I want to have a big wedding. This is kind of a new thought. So I'm sounding this out like as we speak. I am just the most indecisive person in the world. And the reason that this got spurred on was because I was looking at my guest list. I was kind of internalizing like some drama between certain family members. Maybe it's not even there. Maybe it's just in my head. But our guest count is higher than I would like. And I am perseverating on like, do I have to invite this person? Will this person be offended? Will this person, you know, be mad if I didn't? If I invite one of them, I have to invite all of them. And all of these things. And ultimately where I ended up in my thought was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And you know, what is that? It's not a sad thought, which like, if you know Teddy and I, we are such party people. We're such hosts. And we've always talked about like, dude, the wedding that we would put on, it would be like the time of our lives. And I recognize that everyone says, like, you know, the wedding, it should be about you and your partner, and it doesn't matter what everyone else thinks. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you're having this celebration and you're bringing all these people together. So, of course, you're going to feel responsibility. Like, even the most laid back of brides and just people getting married is going to have a little bit of stress on whether like who to invite and if they're having a good time and curating that experience for them. And I am the worst. Right now I'm like, dang, I want this to be as small as possible. Now, like the money that I am thinking that we're going to spend, I'm like, I don't want to do it anymore. So that's like a happy thing inside of a very anxious thing. But I'm very happily engaged. I love my Teddy. And even though I am spiraling, I'm remaining optimistic. We have a lot of places to see at a lot of different price points. So I need to like get out of my head and just see the things and see what our possibilities are. And eventually, I know for a fact that we're going to choose what's best for us. So there's that. That is pretty cool. Like, my family and his family have been waiting for this for a long time. So it's kind of fun. We're in a really fun phase in life. We have a new nephew that just came to the world too, baby Case Matthew. And that's just been a bundle of joy as well. But I think that the biggest change from last podcast up to now is kind of a lifestyle change for me. So in June, I believe, I think most of you know that, you know, I suffer from chronic illness. I have lupus and rheumatoid arthritis, and I keep saying that I was going to make a podcast and talk about all of this kind of stuff, but my chronic illnesses and my autoimmune diseases, that's been going on since I was in college. And up until now, hand in hand with those things, if you've been a longtime listener too, I've really struggled throughout my entire life with my body image and self-confidence and self-esteem. Some people are surprised about that, but I think I just hide it really well. And I do have I think I put on a good face. I'm really good at that. But I have been struggling for a really long time. So I am going to be a part of a wedding for one of our close friend couples here in Maine. And in June, I was taking my measurements to get a bridesmaid dress, and I was like, oh my God, I'm like three sizes up from where I was when I was in a wedding for my best friend in New Jersey. So that was kind of upsetting, and I decided to join. I don't remember how I stumbled upon this, but her name is Dr. Rachel Paul. She's the college nutritionist on Instagram. And I was just scrolling through Instagram, and she was making these nice meals and everything. And the thing that caught me was kind of her tagline is like, do you want to sustainably lose weight with mental health as your forward focus? And I was like, ooh, that sounds pretty nice. So I have been in the Best Body program for about June, July, August. It's been about 2 months and change. And guys, when I tell you, and it's so funny because I feel like I'm an ad. This is not sponsored by Best Body, but truly, this program has changed my life. If you are someone who has struggled with like weight loss, like yo-yo dieting, and I'm so sorry, just trigger warning in the beginning, just talking about weight and eating disorders and just binge eating and things like that. But if you are someone who has had like self-confidence, shame, eating issues, and just self-confidence problems related to your weight and your size and everything, this is truly the program for you. It was the program for me, so I will brag on it to all of my friends and whoever asks, simply because 80% of this program is putting in work mentally. So participating in coaching calls and counseling. And really, the focus is learning to love your body and lose weight, but also lose the shame and the stigma and the self-hate. And it's truly, I've never been to like formal therapy before, but this feels like therapy for me. And it's really unpacking all of the things I associate with my body image and my self-confidence and like all the weight drama, all the scale drama. Like, it's life-changing. Like, starting this and having a foundation with Best Body, like retraining my mind and unlearning the bad habits, not bad, unlearning the habits that I've grown up with that have stuck in my brain since I was in elementary, middle school. I've like been on diets and have tried to like cut back on food ever since I was in like late elementary to middle school. I would always look at myself in the mirror and think, oh, like I need to lose weight. And I would hear that like from my family, like from friends. And I would always just have this inner voice in my head that I was never small enough. I was never skinny enough. And I'm here to tell you, and it's something that I've learned from Best Body 2, that regardless of your weight, size, anything, like, you are enough right where you are. And any small 1% of improvement is improvement, and you should be proud of everything that you're doing. Your body is capable of a lot of things, and I feel so thankful to be in this body doing this program, and I feel so amazing, and I've never been able to confidently say this before, but I feel comfortable in my body right now, more comfortable than I ever have been in my entire life. This might be TMI, but I'll walk out of the shower and I'm like, dang, girl, you looking good. And I'm not like picking myself apart, not squeezing my arm fat or like these little things, which is completely normal. We're all human. We all do that. But I feel so much light, and it wasn't just like physical weight that I was holding. It's all this mental weight and all these standards and expectations of how I'm supposed to look and I'm supposed to feel and how often I'm supposed to exercise. No, everyone is different. And this Best Body program is like a guide, and it has guided me into calmer waters. And I can look at myself, and it has been a struggle for so many years. Like my 20s, when it comes to like self-confidence and body image wise, it has been rough. It's been rough for a really long time. And it baffles me to say that, like, when I step on the scale now, no matter what I see, I can confidently say like I'm more than what the number is on the scale. And no matter how much I gain or lose or anything, I can still confidently remind myself that I love myself, which is that's big. I have never been one to look at myself and be satisfied, but this program has really changed me. There's so much, but everyone on that team is a life coach. The head of it, she's a registered dietitian, and they have guests that go over things like, they do mindset lessons that in regards to like trauma and overwhelm and self-hate and all of these things, that it just makes sense that that would be at the core of if you were deciding to lose weight or not. And I never thought of it that way. I thought I had the formula down. I thought if I worked out, if I cut back, if I worked out my hardest, like 3 or 4 times a week at, you know, lifting weights and everything, and then maybe I could cut back on carbs. Oh, I just need to eliminate rice. Oh, I don't need to drink this anymore, or oh, maybe I should just add more protein, go carnivore, all of these things. And like I had no idea that a lot of that was just stemming from a place of mental unrest and being unhappy with myself. And if I couldn't get to a stable level there, then I wouldn't be able to make the sustainable changes to get to where I am now. And I am just in such a content place, you know, making progress and following the program has changed so much in me. Like, I feel accomplished, and I am still on the journey. Like, I have goals, but I know for a fact that no matter where I am in my progress with the program, or where I am in my body, or what phase of life I'll be in, I will be okay. And I'm more than what my, you know, what my number is on that scale, which is a big thing for me. I'm really proud of myself. And I feel like women don't pat themselves on the back enough. And this is me, a letter to myself to say, you know, we're worth more than just stewing in our own self-hate. And life is too short not to love yourself and spread that in the world. I want to give a huge shout out to my gym that I've been going to. It's called Salute. If you're in Portland, Maine, Salute, Portland is my favorite place. And it's like, I didn't realize how important it is, like, in my exercise, like, environment or, like, the atmosphere to be around like-minded women who are also kind of on the same journey. When I come into Salute, it's a exercise facility. It does different. There's a lot of different classes. I do love classes. They have Pilates, they have bar, they have reformer classes, they have strength classes. There's a lot of variety. It's so funny. I was there today and I was saying the same thing. Like, I'm not an ad. One of the new girls that I met, she was like, you should hire her for like PR because she just sold me. But I have to say, like, I don't know if it's just my positive mindset, like overflowing into everything, but at this gym, I have never felt, again, more confident. And maybe it is, maybe it's a combination of the program and the place itself, but I feel so uplifted there. I don't feel ashamed of my body. This is the first gym I could ever like feel confident enough in to just work out in like a sports bra and leggings. And I don't feel like I'm getting stared at. I don't feel self-conscious. Like, there are so many other women who are just like me trying to improve themselves. The ambiance is perfect. The music is popping. And we are sweating up storms in there, my friend. I am a sweaty mess in the best way possible. Like, and the instructors too. They're all just so uplifting and powerful. And it's only done like amazing things for my mental health and for, you know, my journey in general. So all of these, this culmination of things, it's just been a really great year. It's only going to get better. You know, it feels surreal that I'm in this place right now. And, you know, of course I have like day-to-day things that upset me, get under my skin and all that jazz. But if we're taking stock of life at the moment in its entirety, things are good right now, man. Friends are fire. Playing video games when we can at night. It's just, it feels so nice. Like, I didn't think that being an adult right now, catch me 2 weeks later on the podcast venting about something else. But still, you know, like I said, taking stock of my entire life right now, things are good right now. And I'm so happy to report that. And speaking of things are good right now, while I was out getting sore, hiking up to Chimney Pond and getting proposed to, can we all take a moment for the Lone Pine Book Club? Shout out to my co-moderators, Shelby and Corinne. Where did all these 217 members? Hold, please. Let me do a member check. 218. When I tell you, we had like 128 before we went camping. And then when I came back from camping, which was like beginning of August, we were like, oh, look, 132. We blinked like the next day, 156. And we have been gaining at least one or two followers like a day. Members, I should say. Sorry, not followers. I'm shook, guys. Our little community has grown so much. I'm so proud of everything that we've done and accomplished with this book club, this community we've created. And we have so much in the works too. Like, with the new like update, like Fable is popping off. And I think that's one of the reasons why we are quite successful right now. Like, our book club is very interactive. And I'm just so excited. I got invited to, you know, read a few advanced reader copies from some authors on Fable, and it's a dream come true. That's the only thing I describe it as. Like, I've always known that being involved in books and reading, like in my adult life, that's a dream. That's like a, I wouldn't even say like a a potential like side gig that I would love. I would love to make, if I were to have any second career outside of nursing, it would have to do with books and reading and something of that nature in that spectrum. But yeah, man, if you are looking for a book club where you have a say in what books we read, where you like to talk about the things you're reading, like in real time, shameless self-promo, you should definitely join Lone Pine Book Club on Fable, or even just follow us on Instagram, read along with us when we post what books we're reading next, and we would be so, so happy to have you. I don't know what else there is to say, my friends. I'm just really happy to be on the microphone again. I want to, what can I commit to? Maybe a podcast a month at least. And hopefully I can bring on some more special guests. I'm sure Curran will be back. We'll do another reading roundup sometime later on. And I do have a few friends and people that I'd like to bring on who I've met this past year through book club and through kind of getting to know them even more outside of book club, who I feel like would be very, very honorable guests. Let me know what books you're loving, just the things that you're loving in general, and also let me know how you like the new and improved music and things. Is it very me? I think it's very me. It feels almost like being on a journey. Because we are, right? We're on a journey, this thing called life. Again, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Janine Between the Lines. Make sure you follow me on Instagram, if you so please. Lots and lots more book stuff, ratings, reviews, all that kind of stuff, if that's what you're into. But again, I love you all so, so much. And I'll see you in the next one.